Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus. And joining us today is a good friend of the station's, one of our own professors here at UTEP, Dr. Larry Lester. He is a professor of math, but Larry is also multi-talented, as you remember. We've featured him on several other shows on Focus on Campus. He's a very talented musician, performer, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a minute. But first of all, Larry, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And we want to let our audience know, first of all, that this was taped yesterday, which was actually National Pie Day, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. And some people are going, oh, pumpkin, pecan. Well, it's a different kind of pie, but we're going to have Larry explain that in just a minute. But first of all, Larry, how long have you been at UTEP?
This is my 15th year.
And where did you come from? Where are your origins?
I grew up in Houston. I've also taught in Georgia and in Colorado.
And they have been all at the university level, or did you teach?
And 2 years of high school as well.
Wow. How does that compare?
It's really its own thing. I'm really glad I did it. It made me a better university professor, because when you're with the same kids every day, you really learn a lot about it, motivation and assessment, and a lot of that helps you teach college students better too.
And have you always been interested in math?
Yes. Yeah, I had several relatives, a grandmother who was a math teacher, and she would send me these enrichment gems that were way beyond my textbook. I'm like, wow, this is cool. Show me more, you know.
And what about music? Because I mentioned you're a very talented performer as well, and you write a lot of your own songs. You also have done some great parodies that we're going to feature on the show today. But tell us a little bit about your musical interests.
So I began writing songs the same year I became a math major, actually. So they really have – they both go way back, even though it took me a while to think about integrating them. And it's just been a wonderful vehicle for my own personal growth, as well as now purposed for education and motivating, because there's almost nothing I can do in 60 seconds of class time that catches students' attention more than singing a song about the content we're discussing that day.
We talked – I briefly mentioned at the beginning of the interview that this is National Pie Day. Actually, yesterday was National Pie Day. But for some people who may not know the origins of National Pie Day, this was, what, back in the 80s sometime? Or when did it start?
So it's been happening for about three decades now. And in fact, one decade ago, the U.S. House of Representatives enshrined March 14th as Pi Day. And just so your listeners understand, March 14th, we can write that as 3-1-4. And 3.14 is the beginning of that special number pi, which is the distance around a circle divided by the distance across that circle.
And this has been, because as what you just mentioned, the circumference, the diameter of the circle, this has been going on, gosh, like two pre-biblical times that people use this before?
So
even further back?
So the use of the Greek letter pi to stand for that special ratio, that only goes back about three centuries. But you're correct that early estimates for the value of pi can be traced all the way back to the Bible. If you look at 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 23, it talks about, 30 cubits round and 10 cubits across. Well, that's an approximation of pi equaling 3, which we know is not quite accurate because pi is a little bit more than 3. But it turns out there's some fancier biblical analysis you can do in that same part of the Bible to get an estimate accurate to within 26 parts per million.
And what has changed over the years as far as being able to identify it more, being able to, that symbol that represents pi has become pretty common. I mean, I don't want to say common, but if you have dealt with any kind of high school math or college math, you've come across that pi.
Absolutely. I mean, you take the STAR exam and you better know pi r squared and 2 pi r for the area and circumference respectively, right? But in terms of what is known about pi, that's pi is a number that whose decimal expansion never ends, and it never goes into a repeating pattern either. So we can never know all the digits of pi because there's an infinite number of them. So far, we know 22 trillion of them, though.
Wow, that's a big number. I just like, oh my gosh.
It is. And in fact, sometimes to test the best new computers, they will compute digits of pi as a way to sort of see if the machine is working. So there's some actual practical application to knowing that many digits, even though that's way more than we need for any practical measurement purpose.
National Pi Day, as you mentioned, was started a little over three decades ago. How did that come about? Was it because, you know, some people have said that it was also significant that this was Albert Einstein's birthday?
It is Albert Einstein's birthday also on March 14th, but I think that's an independent serendipitous connection. Basically, a physicist, Larry Shaw of the Exploratorium Science Museum in San Francisco, is the one that started the tradition in 1988, and it became not only an excuse to celebrate pi specifically, but also a more general excuse to celebrate the beauty and the usefulness of mathematics in general. And, of course, STEM awareness has only become more important in today's society.
And what are some of the things that perhaps people who have grown accustomed to celebrating National Pi Day, what are some of the different ways that they – I'm sure that there are restaurants out there who also take advantage of the fact that it's a pie and, you know, they do that.
Sure. There's, I mean, like here in El Paso, we've done a lot of things. We've had, I've been part of co-producing Pi Day celebrations for elementary school kids, for middle school kids, high school kids, college kids. For example, UTEP's math club called Club Zero, 1 year, they did something called the Buffon needle problem by dropping frozen hot dogs on a grid of parallel lines. And the fraction of hot dogs that landed on a line can be used to estimate pi. It's too complicated to explain on a radio show, but basically that was just sort of one example of other traditional favorite things to do is have like contests to see who can recite the most number of digits of pi from memory. And of course, a pie eating contest is also always a favorite.
Larry, you must make teaching really fun.
Thank
and you enjoy doing
well,
it.
Well, I have more fun, and I think if they see that I'm having fun, it spills over. Because students know if you're just going through the motions, and they also know when you're bringing in something that's not in their textbook.
Why is it that we've grown, people grow up and they automatically not grow up to hate it, but dislike it and think that math is hard, whereas people like yourself make math fun, and then sometimes students have said in the past, well, you know, I didn't even realize that we were actually learning and this is fun.
Right. I mean, and there's no contradiction in saying something can be challenging and also fun. I mean, a lot of video games can be described that way too, or sports can be that way, right? They actually have surveys where they ask people, when you were in high school, what was the subject that was your most favorite and least favorite? And believe it or not, math actually was number one on both lists. So, you know, there's but like you say, I think when you take the time to humanize the subject and the class and the professor teaching it, that goes a long way and people start to see math with a more liberal arts sensibility and they see that that it really is just as interesting a realm of human endeavor as anything else, that all these facts weren't just like found on a tablet one day, that people are still creating them now and that they vary from time to time and culture to culture even. And so that helps people see it with fresh eyes.
We're visiting with Professor Larry Lester. He is a math professor here on campus, and we're discussing National Pi Day, which was yesterday. And we're also talking about some of the other math concepts and different strategies and things that Professor Lester uses in his classroom. As far as math, we've heard stories how some parents are going, you know, I hope they don't ask me with their homework because I don't understand today's math. I don't understand what they're doing. Whether it's English, math, some new class, social media, etc. Why is it that people think, well, this new math is very complicated? Myself included.
Right. A lot of things go in cycles. I think, if anything, the trend in education now is trying to find a balance with the computational and the conceptual. Because in the past, if people learned things only in a rote sort of way and they just memorize everything to get through, and then what happens when they, forget the formula or something, and then they have nothing to fall back on because there's never been any conceptual understanding. And so I think progressive mathematics educators these days are really trying to make sure conceptual understanding is in place. But that does make math instruction look different. And so there is a learning curve for teachers, students, and the parents. And so it's in teachers' interest to try to bring the parents aboard by creating some resources for them to learn too. And so there's family math nights held at schools like at Jose Damian Elementary School here in El Paso, where the students, bring their parents, and the students end up explaining a lot of it to their parents who are learning this for the first time because it wasn't taught that way when they were students, as you said.
I mentioned that you were also a talented performer, musician, and you've been known to take your guitar into class. And along with those tunes, you learn more than just math formulas. You learn 4-4 time, 2-4 time, whatever. And you've also have recorded 3 songs in relation to National Pie Day. And I'm going to go down the list here. First of all, American Pie.
Sure. So that's the parody of the 1970s number one hit by Don McLean, although some of our students might think of it as a hit by Madonna in the early part of the current millennium. And it's just a fun song because, a lot of people have sort of done like history teachers will take, American Pie, the original song, and have students do research on all the historical references in there, right? So for math classes, I rewrote it to be about the number pi, and so the chorus is a great mnemonic for remembering the first 6 digits of pi, which is all anyone really needs, and then going through the history of how pi was successively discovered. And that song actually won the Pi Day of the Century song contest by the National Museum of Mathematics. That museum is in New York. It's only been around for 3 or 4 years, but it's or 5 years now. But that was a real fun thing to actually win a national song contest for a Pi song.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
And the next song is the Circle Song.
Right. That's just a little quick jingle because when I was teaching high school math, my students would sometimes say, I'm having a hard time remembering those 2 key formulas of pi r squared and 2 pi r for the area and circumference respectively and remembering which one is which. And so I said, well, how about if I write you a jingle? And they're like, yeah, write us a jingle, Dr. Lesser. And so I did that. And it was just a quick, catchy thing because, see, music is the ultimate memory aid because you have so many hooks to hang it on. You've got the rhyme and the rhythm and the meter, and the melody has emotion, and we remember things better when there's emotion and so on. And so it's not just a gimmick. It really does work.
And the third one is Pi Will Go On.
Right. That's a parody of the Titanic song, My Heart Will Go On, that Celine Dion made a huge global hit. And so there's some pie history in there, not quite as much as in the American Pie song, but nevertheless, it was a fun song to do as well.
Our listeners are going to hear snippets of these songs that we just talked about. But because of the social media and how everyone goes to find something on social media, are there videos of you doing these songs, Larry?
Some, but not all. If they want to find these 3 songs, I do have a Pi Day page. They can Google my name. They can just Google Larry Lesser Pi Day, and my Pi Day page will come up. They can also Google Larry Lesser Matha Musician, and they'll get a whole page of all kinds of math songs, not just the Pi songs.
One final thing that I want to discuss, and this is completely off topic, but because you're my friend, you're a colleague, and you first told me about your cousin Bob, and a lot of people were not aware of you're so close to being famous, not just musically, but also in the cartoon world.
Right. I have a cousin who lives in L.A. He makes a living as a voice actor. Among other things, he's the voice of Porky Pig. That's his most famous thing. But that's probably just like 10% of what he does. He does like video game voices and commercial voices. He does all kinds of stuff. And I know that voice acting is also a passion of yours.
And as far as people finding out more about other events that, they happened yesterday, but if people want to perhaps look into it for next year or to have some activities for their students or for their family, if there's a homeschool class out there and you want to teach your children about Pi Day and about pi in general, is there a specific website they should go to? Or just the one you mentioned a little while ago?
Right. If they Google Larry Lesser Pi Day, they'll get my Pi Day page. And my Pi Day page has a links not just to my Pi Day songs, but to actual articles and resources that are ready for teachers to use. So it's really a comprehensive resource page, as well as links to Pi Day things that other people have done that I thought were so creative that I had to add their link to my own page as well.
Is American Pie the version, the parody that you did on the National Museum of Mathematics webpage?
It is. It's also posted on the museum webpage, so Larry, they can find it either way. But they'll find it quicker if they go to my page.
Larry, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much. Happy Pi Day.
We've been visiting with Professor of Mathematics here at UTEP, Dr. Larry Lesser. Dr. Lesser was talking about Pi Day, which was yesterday. And if you want to find out more about Pi Day and some of the other things that Professor Lesser talked about, you can go to utep.edu, and then you can Google also Professor Larry Lesser Pi Day. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Gerardo Moreno. We had help from Robert Flores. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sainz.